Title: Tape His Placement in the Mix with Clean Routing Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live mixing lesson for drum and bass, and we're talking about one of those barely there layers that can make your track feel finished. Tape His. And here's the deal. Tape His can glue a mix, add depth, and make digital drums feel like they exist in a real environment. Or it can trash your top end, mask your hats, and steal headroom from your limiter if you place it wrong or route it sloppy. So today, you're going to build a dedicated His setup with clean routing. The goal is simple. The His should sit behind your drums and bass, follow the arrangement, and feel more like an environment than a sound effect. First, let's decide what the His is doing. Because His is not just add noise and vibe happens. In drum and bass, it's arrangement dependent. It's a tool. It can be atmosphere and continuity, especially in intros and breakdowns. It can be glue, giving your drums that recorded, lived-in feeling. It can be contrast, where the drop feels heavier, because the intro had a noisy floor and the drop suddenly goes cleaner. And it can be energy management. You can automate the brightness and level so builds feel like they're opening up. Keep that idea in your head. The His is part of the arrangement, not a static layer you set once and forget. Now let's build it. Step 1. Create a dedicated audio track. Name it His. Super simple, but this matters for clean sessions and clean thinking. Drop in a tape His sample, and if you don't have one, generate it. Operator can do white noise. Analog can do noise. Wavetable can do noise with a different character. If you generate it, you can always resample it so it behaves like a stable audio loop. If it's a static His sample, set warp to off. Put the clip into loop mode so it stays consistent. And here's where most people blow it. Start the clip gain really low. Think minus 18 to minus 24 dB just to begin. In drum and bass, your drums are loud and transient heavy. Your His should be way lower than you think. If you can clearly hear it during a full drop, you're probably already too hot. Next, we're going to place it in the right lane of the mix. Create a group called Texture Bus. Put His inside it, and if you've got other textures like Final Crackle, Room Tone, Foley, Jungle Atmospheres, they all live in there too. This is one of the biggest upgrades you can make to your mixes. Textures become one concept you control as a unit, instead of random noise layers scattered across the session. Routing-wise, if it's grouped, the His track will feed the Texture Bus automatically, and the Texture Bus can go to the master for now. We'll refine routing later when we talk about pre-mastering. Now, the device chain. We'll build this mostly with stock devices. And the point is control, not hype. Control. First device, utility. Use utility to gain stage and to control stereo width. Set the gain so the His is sitting around minus 30 to minus 24 dB RMS-ish. Don't get stuck on the number, but keep it low. Then set width somewhere around 0 to 30% if you're going for that tight, punchy, center-led DNB mix. A lot of rollers and jungle-inspired stuff benefits from the noise living mostly in mono, because wide noise can smear the top and make your drums feel less solid. If you want a safety move, you can turn bass mono on and set it around 150 Hz. Honestly, you should be high-passing the His anyway, so this is more of a nothing weird happens button. Next, EQ8. This is where you prevent masking. Put a high pass somewhere around 250 to 600 Hz. Choose the slope based on how aggressive the source is. The point is, do not let your His add low mid fog. That's the zone that murders bass definition and makes the whole mix feel cloudy. Then listen to your hats and rides. If the His is fighting them, especially around 7 to 10 kHz, put a gentle dip there. And if you want the His to feel like air instead of sand, try a gentle shelf boost around 12 to 16 kHz. But be careful. DNB top end can get painful fast, and His in the wrong band can make your limiter work harder for no musical benefit. A really useful mental model. In rolling tunes with constant hats, you don't want the His sitting in the same lane as the hats. Either you push it above, as a super high air layer, or you band limit it so it's more like tape grit. Just don't stack it right on top of the hat presence zone. Next device, saturator. This is for tape-ish density, but keep it subtle. Soft clip-on. Drive around 1 to 4 dB. Then compensate with the output so the level stays consistent. And I really want you to do this properly. Level match before you decide it's better. Saturation always sounds better when it's louder, so don't fall for that. Try analog clip if you want a bit more bite, or keep the default curve if you want smooth thickness. Optional next device. Glue compressor. This is not for pumping. It's for microcontrol if your His source isn't steady. Set attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1, and threshold so it barely kisses. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, max. If you're crushing hiss with compression, you're probably solving the wrong problem. Now, the big routing rule. This is important. Do not put hiss after your master limiter. If you add hiss at the very end of the chain, the limiter will react to it. You lose headroom, the master can get smaller, and your transients can feel less sharp even though you didn't touch your drums. So the best practice is, keep hiss inside the mix before the mastering processors. If you want a really clean modern workflow, create a track called Premaster. Route all your groups to Premaster. So drums, bass, music, effects, texture, everything goes there. Then the Premaster feeds your master, and your master is where the mastering chain lives. That way, your hiss is part of the mix. It goes through the Premaster naturally, and then the mastering chain treats it like it belongs there. That's clean routing. Now let's make the hiss move like it's in the room with the drums, instead of sitting on top like a blanket. Add the standard Ableton compressor to the hiss track for sidechain ducking. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from your drum bus, or even better, a kick and snare group if you've got one. Ratio 2:1:4:1. Attack somewhere between 1 and 10 milliseconds. Faster attack gives you cleaner drum clarity. Release between 60 and 180 milliseconds, and you tune this to the groove. Faster release for techie rollers that need tightness. Slower release if you want the hiss to breathe a bit. Then set the threshold, so you're getting about 1 to 4 dB of ducking on the snare hits. What you're listening for is this: when the snare hits, the hiss politely steps back. And when the drum breathes, the room returns. That's how you get in the room instead of noise layer on top. Now automation. This is where it turns from a trick into a mix tool. In DNB, a practical map looks like this. In the intro, especially DJ-friendly 16 or 32 bars, you can let the hiss come up a touch. It sets mood and it masks emptiness. In the build, slowly open the top end. That could be a high shelf on a Q8 plus 1 or 2 dB, or a tiny volume lift. At the drop, often bring the hiss down a hair so the drums and bass smack clean. Or keep it similar in level, but rely on the sidechain so it stays controlled. Both are valid. Clean modern stuff often goes cleaner on the drop. Jungle and tape rave vibes might keep it present, but breathing. In breakdowns, bring it up again. Maybe widen it slightly if you want the world to open. Then for the second drop, instead of just more or less, consider changing the quality. Drop 1. Tight. Mono. Darker. Drop 2. Slightly wider, slightly more room send. Same level, new identity. And here's a pro workflow move. Do your main automation on the texture bus, not the individual hiss track. That way, if you've got 8 texture layers, you're not doing surgery on 8 tracks. You're mixing the concept. Now, an advanced routing option. The tape room return. This is for when you want multiple elements to share a subtle tape environment, but you still want it clean and controllable. Create a return track called tape room. On that return, put EQ8 first. High pass around 300 to 700 HC, because you don't want low junk in your room texture. Then saturator, drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on, subtle. Then hybrid reverb, set it to a small room algorithm, decay around 0.3 to 0.8 seconds, predelay 0 to 10 milliseconds, and keep it dark. High cut somewhere like 6 to 10 kHC. Wet around 10 to 20% on the device, but remember you'll control that overall amount with send level. And one key rule, for time-based effects like reverb on a return track, you typically keep the return 100% wet, and you blend with the send. That keeps routing predictable. Now send a little of the hiss track to tape room. Start super low, like minus infinity up to minus 20 dB. Tiny. The point is connection, not obvious reverb. Optionally, send a tiny amount of breaks or pads to the same tape room so the hiss feels attached to the space the track lives in. This is how you get everything's in the same world without washing out your transients. Now let's talk about common mistakes before you lock it in. Mistake 1. Hiss too loud in the drop. If you can identify it as a separate element during the drop, it's likely overdone. Mistake 2. Hiss competing with hats and rides. That's the 6 to 12 kHC danger zone. Fix it with EQ, or even better, with frequency-dependent ducking. Mistake 3. Adding hiss after the limiter. Classic reason masters suddenly feel smaller. Mistake 4. Too wide hiss in a mono-heavy roller. It smears the top and softens center punch. Narrow it with utility. Mistake 5. No automation. Static hiss reads like an overlay. Automated hiss reads like an environment. Now, extra coach notes that will help you mix like an adult with this stuff. 1. Calibrate hiss against the LUFS. Not your eyes. Put a meter on the texture bus. In Live 12, you can use the meter device. Aim for the texture layer to contribute roughly minus 40 to minus 30 LUFS short term during drops, depending on style. In intros and breakdowns, you can let it climb 3 to 6 dB higher. That keeps you from overreacting to the waveform and accidentally making hiss a lead instrument. 2. Keep hiss out of your transient detectors. If you've got transient shapers, dynamic EQ, multiband processing, or anything in your premaster that listens and reacts, a constant noise bed can trigger movement in a way you don't intend. If you notice weird pumping or changing behavior day to day, consider a very gentle gate or expander on the texture bus. Not to chop it, just to reduce constant floor between hits without making it obvious. 3. Mono jacking that actually matters. Do a quick mono audit on the texture bus. Temporarily set utility width to 0. If your mix suddenly feels clearer and louder, your stereo texture is smearing the top. Narrow it, or do a mid-side approach where the sides are darker. Let's do a quick advanced variation you can steal immediately. Mid-side tone splitting. Put EQ8 on the texture bus. Switch it to M/S mode. In the mid, allow a little more 10 to 14 kHz air if you want present centered. On the sides, low pass earlier, like 8 to 10 kHz, so your stereo feel doesn't turn into fizzy hash fighting the rides. This often reads as wide mix without harshness. Another advanced option, frequency-dependent ducking. Instead of ducking the entire hiss, use multi-band dynamics on the hiss bus and sidechain only the high band from the drum bus, or from hats. Now the hiss still exists, but the hat zone steps forward cleanly. This is one of the cleanest ways to keep the vibe without losing articulation. And a sanity-saving pro move, print your hiss bus. Once you're happy, resample the texture bus to a new audio track called Texture Print. This audio version is shortened for playback.